It be hot. We're in a series because it is hotter than a dog. I mean, lately, at least this rain has made it a little cooler, hasn't it? Say, it was like 11 o'clock the other morning. I'm in my pickup truck because it has a thermometer and all that kind of stuff in it. And it's like 77 degrees and it's like almost noon. I'm like, you're kidding me. No wonder I was cooling my pickup with the air on. But anyway, no, it was outside temp of 77 because that's what rain does for. But it's been so hot. It's going to get hot again this week. Amen. If you don't like hot, you picked the wrong place to live. Amen. We love it. We love it. It's good stuff. In a little series on hot things and hot things like the holiness of God, nothing hotter than the holiness of God. I think when a lot of us think of something hot, you think of a place called hell. Hell is hot. You don't want to go there. I gave a message a few weeks ago, ugly. Is there a hell? Hell yes. Then the second point was hell no. You don't want to go there. Amen? And then if somebody tells you to go to hell, what do? You tell them, hell no, I can't go. No, not hell no, but hell knows I can't go. Amen? Because hell knows if a Christian gets there, we got the spring of living water filling up with us, and we put the place out. Amen? So no, I'm sorry, I can't go there. So you may as well not tell me that. Amen? Come on. Other things we've been talking about. Last week we looked at how to have a hot church instead of a cold church. And we want to continue that thought a little bit today. And the bottom line is, you'll have a cold church if your church is made up of people that are just insincere. Okay? You can pull it off for a while, but it's not going to work in the end. You can play that little church game thing. Amen. Oh, yeah, I love Jesus. I come in all that, you know. But I'm telling you what, it's not going to fly. It's a waste of time. Did you know the Bible tells us that Christians are going to suffer persecution? So I think somebody that's trying to pretend to be a Christian is an absolute idiot. I mean, did you know you're going to suffer persecution? You're playing at something that's going to get you really hurt and a lot of pain? You may as well go ahead and get in with both feet if you're going to get persecuted for it. Amen? Did that make any sense to anybody? Amen? That's what Christians were called to that. It's going to be tough at times. Absolutely. Well, then why play at it? I'd never pretend at something if it was going to hurt me. Amen? Christianity, being a follower of Jesus Christ, it'll cost you. Matter of fact, he said, deny yourself, carry your cross. Amen? Why would I want to die daily and crucify myself if I'm not doing it for the right reason? Yes or no? Say. So that kind of thinking to where I'm phony kills churches. It kills your life. Kills your witness. There ain't no witness. The gig's going to be up. The wool's going to be pulled. We need to be real and honest in our faith. Amen? Y'all listening? Okay? Start and don't worry about somebody else. Do not worry about somebody else. Worry with you. I'll worry with me. My biggest problem, the biggest problem I have with anybody at Fellowship Church is me. I got problems. The more I focus on God, you work in me. God, I want to empty myself. God, Holy Spirit, put your red hot finger on something in my life that's screwy. And I want to get it out of here. The more I do that, instead of looking at somebody else and what they got going wrong, the better off I am. You listening? That's called real Christianity. And I've been preaching for 25 years and ain't always lived it. And still struggle like crazy. But if I'm going to do this, if we're going to get here on Sunday and unload everything and do everything we're doing, sweat like a pig, I think we ought to do it real. If we're going to raise money and build a building and do it debt-free and all this kind of stuff and take the hard road, then I think we ought to be honest. Y'all listening or not? So I want to talk about that today. A lot of church people today think they're, say it with me, on fire. But they're not. Being on fire doesn't mean how loud you can holler. Being on fire doesn't mean you can run down an aisle and do a little twist. Being on fire doesn't mean you can tell me about something God told you late in the night. Being on fire doesn't mean you can use your tongue and talk all kinds of other crazy talk, little talk languages or something. That's not being on fire. I can do all that without being on fire at all. Say yes or no. I do that when I watch the Vikings play. Run around
on! Yeah! Woo! Come on! He's on fire for Jesus. Now I'm on fire for the Vikings. You understand, yes or no? A lot of people think they're on fire for God and they're not. Let's talk about it. It's just a bunch of what? Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the fire. I mean, like a fire, three-alarm fire, you know, going off. Woo! A lot of Christians, a lot of people think they're on fire for God. They're not. We need to be real. Amen? I call it phony fire. Can you say that with me? Phony. My mother was a drunk. Watched Billy Graham one night. She said, "We're going to church in the morning." I cussed her out. We got up. You know the story well. And when I'm walking to church with her, I'm there with her to keep some preacher from taking our last dollar. They're phonies. They're liars. They're fakes. They're cheats. They're crooks. I hate their guts. This is a lost person, me. This is the way I was thinking. I went with such a horrible attitude. And the thing that helped my attitude and quenched that attitude and got that attitude to lay down a little bit was love. Can you say that with me? Love. And honesty. They loved me for who I was. Didn't judge me and my drunk mama and a mama of reputation in the town. And not a good reputation. They loved us. And I still wouldn't receive it. Because I still think they're phony. But I learned to love those people because they were real people. It's huge, man. This phony thing will... See, we're already... Lost people like me, we're already sitting dead ready to hate you. You understand? And we're already thinking you're full of bull and full of yourself and full of crap. Excuse me. I'm sorry. We think that. And then when we get in church and we see it, the phony, it confirms everything we ever believed. And we get all that kind of mindset, people like me, from Satan. See? Because he does not want me to receive Jesus. Got it? Yes or no? He does not want me to have my life changed. He does not want my mama to put the bottle down. Amen? So this is huge. I know I've taken a long time setting the message up, and we're going to fly here in a second, but are we on the right page together this morning? Let's go to the Bible now. We're going to fly. Here we go. Let's look at a couple of three-alarm fires that the Apostle Peter was called out on to put them out. I talked last week in the second service. There's five kind of people that you'll meet. I call them personality disorders that you're going to meet out there. There's more than that, but Paul met five on his first missionary journey. And the first one he dealt with was a guy named Bar-Jesus. We're not going to talk about it today. We're going to talk about Peter. But this guy, Bar-Jesus, his name was also Elymas. He was a sorcerer, but he was with the leader of the country who wanted to hear the gospel. And so he withstood Paul. And here he's supposed to be a spiritual man, this Bar-Jesus guy. And Paul saw him for what he was. You're a phony. You're standing in the way of me leading the head of this country to Jesus Christ. And Paul the apostle, he had newly been saved. He used to kill Christians, Paul did. Well, now he's a Christian himself. And I think he's about ready to kill this guy, this phony. He gets on him like white on rice. He's, let me tell you something. You seem to be spiritual. That's how people see you. I'm going to show them how blind you are. He called a curse of blindness down on him. And guess who got saved? Somebody take a wild guess. The leader of the country. See, if we can get this phoniness out of the way, people can come to Christ. Does that make any sense to you? Let's go now with the number one thing that Paul dealt with last week, but Peter's dealing with it a couple of times. Phony fire. If you read Acts chapter 4, you'll see Acts chapter 4, the church is on fire for God. People are giving to help other people that have been displaced and hurting and struggling in the early church there. They're selling their homes, possessions they gave to people as they had need. The church was excited. And a couple saw how much excitement the giving
had done, so they wanted to get in on the excitement. But they didn't want to get on it because it was exciting and encouraging a lot of the people. They wanted to get on it so everybody could give them praise. Let's look at it. I use these stories all the time. They're all through the Bible. This is one of my favorite. A certain man named Ananias with his wife Sapphira sold a possession because they wanted to get in on this praise thing for themselves. And they kept back, say it with me, part of the, his wife also being privy or private to it, knew about it. She brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Keep going. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not your own? So they sold a piece of land, give it to the church, so that the church could get all excited about it and say, did you hear what Ananias did? Did you hear what Sapphira did? They're great people. Look what they did. That's why they did this. That's not why we give, church. Are y'all listening? Say, keep it. Okay? Because this is bad stuff. What caused you to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whoa, quit that. Somebody's fooling with lights. While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not in your own power? Why have you conceived this thing, this phony junk, in your heart? You haven't lied to men. Say it with me. You have lied to who? God. Wow. Church, you don't want to be going down this path. I strongly caution you, stop being a phony Christian. It's going to kill you. Or it's going to cause somebody else to get killed. Or it's going to kill a church. Are y'all listening? Stop it! And Ananias, hearing these words, he fell down. He didn't fall down to go, I'm sorry, I give glory to God. No, he fell down and gave up to what? Oh yeah, deader than a hammer. Great fear came upon all them that heard these things. The young men arose. They wound him up. They carried him out and did what to him? Buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours later. See, this plan concocted. You've heard me give this story before because in the Bible I'm going to talk about it often. It's one of the greatest stories for us to keep us in check. 3 hours later, his wife. See, they had it all planned. Well, you just can't get out of glory, Mr. Ananias. I want some too. Amen? So 3 hours later, she's going to get her little walk of fame thing. And she came in 3 hours not knowing what was done. And Peter answered, she's, you know, just going, oh, Miss Sapphira, you're such a great Christian. You're just awful. You're just one of a lady. She's expecting all this adulation. And Peter said this. It's about 3 hours, not knowing what had happened to her husband. Peter said unto her, Tell me about it, what you're doing here. Tell me how you sold the land. Go, you know, he's just playing along with it. You sold it for so much? See, they were pretending. They were giving everything. Look at us. We're real Christians. We're giving everything. Oh, they'd sold it for more and held back part of the price. But don't we love to look like we're giving what? Everything. So she said, yeah, we gave everything. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried your husband, they're at the door, going to carry you out. You think I'm hard on phony people? I ain't killed anybody yet. Then she fell down straightway at his feet, and she's not saying, oh, I'm sorry. No, she's dead. And the young men came in, found her dead, carried her forth, buried her by her who? And great what? Fear came upon all the church. And you know what, church? Fear still ought to come on us. Fear still ought to come on us. When we read passages of Scripture like this, we ought to get scared. We ought to say, I will not do that. Great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And just a couple of points real fast, a little bit about them. Their thing was pride. So often why we're phony is because we're full of ourselves. We must empty ourselves. That's the beauty of the cross. I mean, really, we're to take up our cross, we're to follow Christ. The ground's level at the cross.
That's where we start. Jesus died for us. We didn't die for him. We think we can earn our way to heaven. You can't. You think you can buy your way to heaven. You can't. Jesus said it's not impossible. None of that's possible. The only way you can come to me is believe on me. Accept me. I did everything. You did nothing. Can you say that with me? I did everything. You did nothing. So what do I got to do? Believe. You did nothing. And I did everything. And accept what I did for you. And you will be saved. Isn't that the truth? Yes or no? That's how you become a Christian. You mean I did nothing and I can do nothing and you did everything? And there's nothing I can do because you've already done everything? And you won't accept anything I've done because anything I can do is no good? Yep. Thought I had to be a church member. Thought I had to go to Sunday school. Thought I had to give money. Thought I had to do this. No. You don't do anything but put your faith in me. That's why whether it's Islam, Buddhism, any other ism, none of it's true. It's not true. There's only one name given among men where we might be saved. Tell me that name. The name who? Exactly. Anything else is phony. But pride says, look at me. What I'm doing. Being full of yourself is not the same thing as being full as the fire of the Holy Spirit. Even though I do think our phoniness sometimes can look just as much on fire as if you're full of the Holy Ghost. We can get so full of ourselves sometimes we almost think we're God and act like God. And this message is preaching to Clark today. They had a possession. It usually involves something you have, pride, or something you do. Your possessions. Don't we get proud of what we got? Say, yes or no. I got this, you don't got this. Or somebody else has something and we want it. Part. There's usually an appearance in the area of phoniness. It looks like you're giving it your all, but you're not. So if you're really going to be a good phony, you've got to look like you're giving it all. Because if we ever see that you're not, well, no, you're a phony. So you got to really keep this act up. Privacy. Phoniness usually requires you to keep certain things about your life. What? Now, if you're a really good phony, you can't let the cat out of the bag. Don't you let the cat out of the bag. Because if we find the cat's out of the bag, we're not going to think as highly of you. Amen? The Apostle Paul was very interesting. He let the cat out of the bag. He would tell you stuff in his life as you read your New Testament. He'd tell you what he's going through. He'd tell you how many times he suffered. He would tell you, I'm the chief of sinners. He would say stuff like I do is a bunch of dung, D-U-N-G, current word, crap. That's what he said in the Bible. Is it in the Bible? Yeah. He told about himself. Why? So he would do this. So that others would not think more highly of him than they ought to think. And yet there's a group out there today who worship the Pauline epistles. They worship Paul. The very thing Paul said, don't do to me. Isn't that crazy? So you got to keep things private. Also, phoniness requires a lot of what? Phoniness requires a lot of acting. Let's talk a little bit. How many of us, let's raise some hands, have been phony and we finally got so tired of it because we were wore out? Can I see your hand? We were wore out. I'm tired of being phony. It's just one game after the other. One lie after the other. Y'all hearing the message or am I just talking to Gary this morning? Thank you. Nobody produces phony fire. When your life is at the end of your life and you stand before God and the credits are rolling, there they are. Director, producer, your name's going to be there. You're not going to say, Pastor Gary did it for me. And Fellowship Church, God help us not to have our name on their credit. Let us be honest and be real and not be phony so that our name doesn't show up in the scrolls as it's rolling. Got it? Nobody produces phoniness in Phony Fire, the movie Phony Fire, but you and me. The greatest sin of Phony Fire is not the fooling of others. Say that with me. It's the lying to the Holy Spirit of the living God. We're done. Did we get it? Now, he was called out on 2-3 alarm fires. I'll let you go read the other one yourself. It's Simon the Sorcerer. Get your own Bible. Go find him. Peter dealt with him. Face on. Okay? How do you deal with phoniness? Somebody tell me, how do you do your hands? Just like this. You don't pat a phony on the head. You'll never win a phony to Jesus by going, you know what? You know, you're doing a great job. You're doing good. Don't pat phoniness on the head. Pop it in the head. Y'all listening or not? Straight on! Start right! But the best way to start dealing with it, I'm not asking you to get on a militia hunt here in the church to go find phonies, okay? What I'm hoping is you'll do is this. You'll take this message and you will find you some time alone with God and you'll look at yourself. And you'll remember these things. While it was their own, they could have sold the land for anything. They could have given as much money of the land they wanted to. That was fine. They could have given 10% of the land. That would have been fine, right? Sure. But they wanted to appear they gave everything. Anytime you and I are producing something in our life to give off some other kind of image than it really is, that's phoniness. And usually, there'll be people in our church that God has been trying to woo our way, and the Spirit's been wooing them our way, and Satan's there, and there's a battle going on. We've really got to watch it. We really work hard against this. Amen? Say. All right. Let's stand together. Thank you much. Praise God. Let's praise the Lord for His Word. Not for my words, but for His Word. Amen. Thank you, Lord.